First of all, am I on, Woody? First of all, I can't tell you how absolutely strange this is, of speaking to an empty auditorium, but we have over 120 some people that have tuned in today, and that's obviously, given our family status of our church, just about everybody probably. And first of all, I'm speaking to you over the YouTube channel. We'll get into that, and I'll explain that here in just a little bit. But first of all, you know, I want to take time to thank so many of you. I know we're going through a tough time right now, and it has not obviously the first rough time in our church, and it certainly won't be the last time. But I really want to thank you. My phone and my email and my texts have just been, you know, overwhelmed with people, you know, wanting to know what they can do and want to know how they can help. And even people who are not feeling well have texted me and said I can still call somebody if we have people who need to have somebody encourage them. And I can't tell you, you know, how that makes me feel, that our church would reach out like that to everybody and to me in a time like this. And you know, my goal today is to one, give you some information, and also from a biblical perspective, try to set some direction of where we need to go and what precautions we need to take and what we are doing as we go through this. You know, we all know, and it's no secret, I've been preaching on it ever since the outbreak came here in April and March, really in February, and we all know that we are living in a time that a year ago none of us could have imagined possible. I just can't believe that things change so quickly and so rapidly, from the world that we once all knew and loved and the freedom that we had to go and be and do together what we wanted to do and enjoyed could be gone, and maybe gone for a long time. There's certainly, with the way it's being treated across the country and the states that are having all kinds of surges, and Missouri being one of them, you know, there seems like there's no end in sight to this. And it really concerns me, because we're not just a normal business that sells merchandise. We're in the people business. And you know, it's hard for me anyhow, and I'm sure it is for most pastors, because I've talked to several of them over the last couple of days, and it's hard to find that balance. And you know, we as a church last week, and I'll just take last week for an example, because I want to talk about that. You know, it was our best week in so many ways, and yet our worst week so far in so many ways. You know, I feel terrible that because of what's happened, and it's nobody's fault, nothing we can do about it, that all the great victories at camp kind of got overshadowed and swaddled up with what took place. And, you know, that's just the way that it went. And, you know, we had a number of kids that were saved. Personally, I preached every night, and I probably saw more solid results this year in the kids that came forward, some 30, 40 of them, than I ever have seen in the last couple of years. I think the theme of the camp that Zach and Jenny put together and Danny and Jamie put together and all of the counselors was just, it couldn't have been any better than that. It gave me what I needed to do to really reach those kids. And I feel, you know, at a loss for them, because some of them are sick today. You know, some of them are not feeling well. Some are doing okay. But you know, this today would have been a fun day. We'd have showed the video, you know, we'd have had a great time. And we kind of lost all that because of what took place and what happened with the people getting sick. And, you know, and it kind of swallowed up and overshadowed all the victories that God gave us last week. And I'm certainly not minimizing what happened in any way, shape, or form, but I also don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, and lose sight of the fact of what God did do last week. And, you know, our lives may be changed for a week or two. Our lifestyle may be disrupted for 14 days, 20 days. But we made some impact in some people's lives last week that probably will change them for all of eternity. And again, it's hard to find that balance of all of that. You know, and obviously, you know, the worst part of it is that, you know, is the people getting sick and the COVID virus, you know, getting into people's lives and getting into our church and then getting into our camp. And one of the things I would try to do today is to help you try to understand the balance of what we got to do, because we still got to go on. The balance still has to be struck. And, you know, I hope maybe now a little clearer you understand why I have been hitting it so hard ever since the virus came into America and really turned into a plague for us. You know, I've been trying to prepare you for what has finally hit us. You know, and I knew that sooner or later, and if you've got any common sense at all, many of you and I have talked about it, and we you know, prayed the Lord and asked the Lord, but we all knew that sooner or later that day would come. And, you know, it's a thing where I've talked to several pastors over the last couple of days, and they're all facing the same issue. And very frankly, I'm really amazed that we got away with it as long as we did without having it impact our church. I mean, you all know that we're not your normal average church, that we're a people church and we're a together church. And, you know, that is a great thing in normal times. And, you know, with all that we do, I mean, our softball league, you know, we fired that back up. And, you know, and then after that, we were going to the park. You know, and kids were playing on the kids' park playground there. You know, nothing was blocked off, and you know, we did that, and all of the birthday parties that I know I've been at, from my own family, and of course the people in the church here that we've been part of, and 4th of July. You know, all of the things that we did there and all the fun times that we had, and even going back to Memorial Day. You know, and then on Sunday night the kickball. And, you know, all the social issues and that our people just really are part of. And for me, I'm quite astounded that we haven't got hit with this long before we have. You know, and last week then, we have seen some developments that have come our way. And, you know, it's a thing where now here we are. Our day has come. And I want to try to plot a course through this that all of us can come out on this better than we went into it, which is what we've done in every situation that we have faced in our church. And we have faced some over the last, 17 years that we have been together. You know, I noticed in the last month or so a real resurgence of the coronavirus 19 on a national level. You know, we're faced probably in a month with our kids going back to school. And here again, you know, we look at what we had at camp and what we have in our church, and we don't want to forget that in just a few short weeks, they're all going to be going back to school in some format or another. The government has made it very clear on the reopening of schools, and, you know, it's turned into a political hotbed. I get that. And but we have seen across this country, you know, a resurgence of the coronavirus. And maybe, you know, I'm not going to speak to why that is. Some people think that the country opened too soon. I can't speak to that. I know that we were going to go to Ohio next week to see our family, and we canceled that trip because Ohio is one of the hot spots, as is Kansas. And maybe Missouri is by today. I don't know. I know that every week the virus number is going up, even though the deaths are continually going down. But it's a thing where, you know, Jackson County, you know, we have seen a resurgence of it here around here. And I'm not sure, you know, what their response is going to be, how they're going to deal that. I hope that they don't go back and close down everything. You know, I can't speak to that either, but I know that a lot of people are scratching their head in high places wondering how to get a handle on this. And it's almost like it's become the perfect storm. You know, we're getting hit from what we already have, and then we find this, you know, I hate to call it a new wave because most of the medical guys doesn't say it's a new wave, it's just a continuation of the old wave. So, but here we are. And last week we held our day camp, and, you know, out of that we had some adults that tested positive for Corona 19. And now, obviously, we'll see some kids probably too. You know, and along with that, you know, we had other adults within our church. And I want to, you know, I want to make this clear that we have a tendency, because we were at camp last week, to put that focus there. But as time is unfolding itself, it's very obvious to me that, and the people that I've talked to, and I've talked to several health professionals in the last couple of days that are close to me, and that, you know, that it wasn't just camp. We have seen this, you know, now come into our church, that people who had nothing to do with camp, and you know, and I understand that a number of campers and staff, you know, began to fell ill last week. But at the same time, I'm seeing it in our people in the church who had nothing to do with camp and were really in no contact with anybody who went to camp. And, you know, and with the camp situation and campers and staff feeling ill, that by itself in a normal world, that's not something new. If you've been to camp, you know, and I've been there all my life, you know that every year, the fatigue of going and not sleeping at night the way you should, and the heat, and then going outside in 100 degree and then coming down here where we keep it cold enough to, you know, to make you feel comfortable, and people get run down. That every year I have people and kids who get sick, and they all have the same symptoms that, unfortunately, you know, that many of the kids have this year. And, you know, in years past, you know, the nurses just took care of them. If they weren't too sick to go home, they kept them, and we worked with them and helped them to get through the camp. But obviously, we could not do that this year, and we sent them home. You know, we had a meeting with the parents that I was in here not before camp, and we explained to the parents that there was a risk involved in sending your kid to camp, that we were trying to find a balance and that we wanted to do something for our kids. But at the same time, we informed them that, you know, I was in the meeting, that we informed them and that there was going to be a potential risk involved. And based on that, they had the choice to either not send their kid to camp or to, you know, send their kid to camp, which many of them chose to do. And the problem with is that it's so impossible to tell, you know, if what you're feeling is just because of the bad week and the fatigue or because the symptoms are the same. And we've moved past now the ability to say, well, I've got a cold or I've got a sinus infection or I've got allergies. All of those symptoms now, all of those issues are gone. And now anything that somebody has, any sniffle, any cough, any cold, and I'm on board with this, you know, immediately the first place we go is that you've got COVID-19. And I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do that, but I am saying that makes it difficult to really tell who's what and, you know, who's got it and who does not. And many of those people are being tested. I would say probably by the end of the week, most of the people who were at camp that had any kind of symptoms will be tested, and we'll get a better feel for it, you know, of where we're at with it. And obviously, we'll, as I meet with you on Sunday, we'll keep you updated and let you know where we're at with that. Any time, you can call me or call Danny or call Zach, and you can get any information that you need. And, you know, at the same time, I've had a number of people in the church that had nothing to do with camp that have come down being sick too. And there's probably 20 or 30 then I'll not get into their names, but who are feeling it, and you know, and we don't know exactly where they're at, but we do know that it wasn't anything direct related to camp. And it looks like, you know, that we got caught in that perfect storm from what hit our church, and yet at the same time, because we had camp that week, it just, you know, added to the situation that we had. And, you know, the thing that I want to understand that, you know, I'm not taking away camp and what, you know, the kids that got sick there by any stretch of the imagination. I'm really not. But I want you to know that those kids at camp, they were many, many places before that they came to camp. We've had, I don't know how many were on vacation the week before. Some were flying from places around the country and came back, you know, and all of that. Every one of those kids are in some little league program or some soccer program or some softball program. I mean, they all have had social interaction with their people, their friends. You know, most of them have had some kind of, the older ones have some kind of graduation party, or they've attended something, and they've all been at the park after that and all of those things. And I'm just saying, when I talked to a doctor the other day, and I was explaining to him, and he says, you know what, it's impossible to find a ground zero here. And because of the simple fact that it's crawling across everybody's lawn in the country. And you can't just focus on where did this start, because it's impossible. You have to put the energy in now that it's here. You know, what do we need to do to help it? Because as he told me, he says, it was inevitable that your church was not going to get hit with this. And as any church and all churches, and as the pastors that I've talked to, many of them are dealing with some of the same things. And right now, as is this morning, we have 5 confirmed cases. Off the top of my head, the breakdown for camp is probably 2, and then the rest are in the church. I think that probably number is going to grow. I'm not minimizing that. I'm just saying that's where we're at right now. This next week, I think we will get some more information. And as I said, we'll keep you completely updated. You can call me at any time. I would ask that we're trying to keep records of everything that is, who's having it. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But we would like you to keep us informed, we'll let you know where we're at and how you can help with all of that. You know, as I thought what I wanted to say today, and I really obviously want to give you some information, but we're a church. We're not a factory. We're not Ford Motor Company. We're not GM. We're not some corporation. We're a church. And we have to deal with things from a biblical perspective. And, you know, it's one thing for somebody to get up and talk about all the facts and all the figures and all that. And I get that. And obviously I have done that, and I will do that as we move on through here. But I wanted to think about this week, and it just, you know, I started thinking about this about the middle of the week, you know, because I just had a feeling that, you know, that we were going to have an issue once I start seeing it, not only at camp, but starting to get phone calls from people in the church who, as I said, had nothing to do with camp. And I thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you would, you don't have to turn to it. And if you got your Bible there, that's great. I really can't see if you're turning there or not. But I want to just read for you in a moment verses 3 through 10. And, you know, one of the things that I've tried to do in preparation for all of this is to get you to see how that all down through the history of the church has struggled with issues. When we go through our issues, we tend to localize that issue like it ever happened before in anybody in Christianity. And of course, that's not true. Sometimes we have that positional dominancy where what we're going through, we think that we're the only ones that ever went through it. And, you know, and we tend to lose sight of the true issues that we're faced with and maybe sometimes consequently don't ever get to where we need to. And, you know, one of the things that I've always tried to do, and I started with this, if you remember, I have told you sermon after sermon after sermon that this day was coming. I'm not standing up here and saying, oops, I didn't. I have told you since March, April, that this was going to come and we were going to have to face some issues. And it should be no surprise to you. Maybe you forgot that. Maybe you wasn't paying attention. Go back on the tapes and listen to it again. I never forgot it because I knew as your pastor that tough times were going to come for us. And I think we will get through this, but I think that there'll be other tough times that are going to come our way. My greatest fear is that what we're experiencing right now is just the pregame to what's going to happen in the fall and what's going to befall us in the winter. And I, frankly, I don't have any answers for that at this point. And I get it. That's page 943, and right now we're on page 2. I understand that. But I think it's clear, based on what I have prepared you for and preached and told you about, that our day has come and Christianity is going to be faced with some challenges. And again, I feel bad for the kids. I really do. I feel bad that it got overshadowed, what God did last week. And I'm telling you right now, there were some real life changes. And I understand. I get it. And everything's a balance. And everybody's going to have their opinion about the balance. I understand that. But at the end of the day, it's a thing where if we're not going to continue to minister and find a way to minister, then we just need to close up the doors and say, we'll see you all in heaven someplace. We have got a responsibility. Jesus said, occupy till I come. There's going to be risks in what we do. It's just that simple. And so it's where we're at. But as I looked at this, you know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth when they were really going through a rough time. And I say that because you could almost go into every year of church history, certainly every century, and you could find where God's people were faced with overwhelming challenges. Many times it was diseases. Many times it was persecution. Many times it was just intellectual power or pressure from governments. But every down through Christianity, there always was a pressure on them. It's something that they had to deal with. And many times, you know, they had to struggle. We think of when the influenza flu hit in the early 1900s. What did God's people do then? We think of all the things that have befallen long before we were born, and we'd have no idea, but they go through the same thing that we are going through right now. And this is why it's important to find a context of where we go from here and how we help each other through this. And as I read this, I thought to myself, what a guiding light that is for me as a pastor. You know, and I shared this with several other pastors this week, and they're probably preaching it in their sermons this morning or a variation of it. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and this is what Paul said starting in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now let that sink in for a moment. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You know what he's saying? He's saying our sufferings were for your salvation. And he's saying when we go through what we go through, when we go through our suffering, well, let me just finish it. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual to the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, inasmuch as we despised even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. Let's pray. Father, we come and we thank you today for the Lord Jesus, and we love you, and we pray, Father, that you'll take what needs to be said today. And I know that we all want to be here together, and we all want to spend time loving each other and being together, and we can't do that right now. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just take this, and I thank you for the with all the terrible things about social media and all of the downside of it, here is a good side that I can talk to my people through this today. And I thank you for all the people that are tuned in today. And I pray, Father, that you'll take what I have to say, and that you'll put it in a context, Father, that'll give us direction and help us, Father, to work through this and to help each other. And Lord, we will be very careful to give you all the honor and glory and the praise. I thank you for the kids that got saved last week. I thank you, Father, for the small part that I was able to have, Lord, in showing them how to build a wall. And Lord, I feel terrible because of the virus that came down and hurt our camp. And Lord, I like Paul, I understand that sometimes our suffering has to be for other people's salvation. And Lord, I claim that this morning, and I hope that my people can see that we don't get so self-centered and focused on ourselves that we lose sight of the fact that Christ suffered for us. And because when we understand that suffering, then we have to suffer with other people. And sometimes through that suffering, we have to go through it for their salvation. So help us, Lord, today to understand it and to apply it. And we love you now and thank you in Jesus' name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. Now, I understand that when something like this happens to our church, as it is to other churches across the country and businesses and families, I understand that it's easy to let your emotions take charge. I get that. Believe me, I'm as emotional as anybody else when things come into my life. It's only been, you know, the Word of God in my life over the years that have helped me to process things biblically instead of emotionally. And I get it. I understand that. And I'm giving that to anybody. I really am. And I would never stand up here and say that, you know, you're unspiritual because you know, your emotions get involved. Hey, we're all human and we all have emotions. And I would be lying to you this morning, even as best as I am, that I'm not telling you that I'm not emotional about this and feel for my people. But at the same time, I do understand, and I hope that you can get to this point. As Paul said, it's times like these that will really define ourselves. Paul went to the church at Corinth and he says, look, you're going through some really tough times. So are we. And you need to let that define you. And here's what he said. We, as earlier in the year, I told you that Paul's saying, you need to come out of this stronger than you went into it. You need to learn the lessons, and then you need to apply the lessons, and then you need to go from that point on. And what Paul is saying here is that in verse 5, he's saying, we have to help each other through this time. He says, for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, and it is right now, we understand the price that Christ paid for us. We all should understand that. So our consolation. Now, consolation is an old English word that means our giving to others, our care for others, our benevolence to others, our feelings for others. He says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, as I understand Christ's suffering for me, so now I can have compassion also on others because of what Christ has done for me. He says, as the Lord suffered, so will we. And through that suffering together, we help each other based on our understanding of Christ's suffering for us. And we become, through this time, through any time, We become one through the sufferings that we all have to go through, understanding that whatever we're going through right now has got a long history of God's people going through similar things, many times much worse. And it's a thing that we understand and put it in a context that, you know, that we, as Paul told this church at Corinth, we need to be one together through the suffering and help each other. He said in verse 4, he comforted us in our suffering so we can comfort each other when we suffer. And of course, the real key to all this is found in verse 9, where he simply says, you know, that the key is not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in the Lord. And it's time like these that we find out as a church if we're really who everybody thinks we are. I mean, I get pastors all the time and people all the time from around the country that text us and write us and say incredible things about what we have here, you know, and how they wish they could be here and how they, you know, that they don't have what we have. And at the same time, I say to myself, that's great when everything is fine. But the real proof of who we say we are we what we're going to do, like what Paul told the church at Corinth, now that we're in the midst of our suffering. We're either going to help each other or, you know, we're not going to help each other. And honestly, certainly, this is not the time to be pointing fingers at anybody or anything. This thing is across America. We don't want to get the idea and get tunnel vision that we're the only place on the planet that's going through this. It's rampant across this country, and it's only getting worse. And, you know, the last thing I want to do is to have people in our church who have it, and maybe some of the first ones that had it, to feel bad. I spent 2 days on the phone off and on with two of the people, and I'll not give you their names. It's not important. But both of them, and then there was a third one even yesterday, both of them were just sobbing beside themselves because they felt like that they brought this into our church, that they felt like that they were responsible. And they're looking at people getting sick and they're this and that, and they're feeling some kind of personal responsibility that I caused that. And I told them, as I'm telling you right now, that is not true. This thing was coming our way no matter what. And whether you like it or you don't like it, the bottom line is we were going to get hit with it sooner or later. It's just that simple. I mean, you've got people, as I said, that were on vacation. They could have brought it back. You got people who went to the grocery store. You could have brought it back. It's a thing where you can't find a ground zero, and wasting time trying to say who and this, that is unproductive, because what we need to do right now that we're in the middle of it. And I told you it was coming. I mean, if this was just something that, you know, that oops, and here it was, and I had never warned you, I have told you month after month after month that we were going to face this day. And now here it is. And I told them, absolutely not. This was coming our way, and you absolutely are under no responsibility whatsoever. And I have spent and will continue to spend time reassuring them and anybody else that this is not anybody's fault. This is a pandemic that is coming across this country, that no matter what we have done, if we wouldn't have had camp last week, somebody would have got it through kickball. Somebody would have got it through softball. Somebody would have got it through a social gathering that we have that the kids are doing all the time. It just happened the way that it happened. And I don't know what else to tell you about it. And we need to rise up and stand with each other and get through this. And I will tell you now, this is probably just, what we're going through right now is probably just practice for what's going to hit us in 2021 and maybe even 2022. And kids are going to go back to school in a couple of weeks. I know there's a great debate about that. They're going to be put in classrooms, and I know everybody's going to say, well, they'll wear masks and they'll wear social distancing. Yeah, see how long that goes with your kids. And of course, we're going to find ourselves into another great deal. Maybe our own kids who have to go to school. And I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not here to provide an answer for that. I'm just saying, this thing is a lot bigger than what we're facing right now. But this is our dilemma. I can't fix the country. I can't fix Jackson County. I can't fix the school system. I'm responsible for us. And I know that my job, and I'm telling you, I'm just being honest with you today, I feel like I have my legs weigh 10,000 pounds apiece, and I feel like I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. And I feel that way because of I have to lead our people through this. I'm already suffering with what you're going through. I wouldn't blame anybody for this. I would never do that because it could have been any situation, and it doesn't matter. I want to help you, and I want to be here for you, and I am telling you, based on what Paul told the church of Corinth, which is good for every pastor and certainly good for every Christian, I'm suffering through your suffering, and that's my job. I saw this coming. Again, my wall, my high tower, I told you over and over again that this was not going to go away. We tried to strike a balance to make everybody happy. I set up the church to try to give everybody what they wanted. And you know what? We did the best we could, and here we are. And now we have to follow through this thing. And as I said, I've tried to prepare you to keep your emotions out of this. I try to do everything I could, yet at the same time, I know that it's hard when it finally hits. Now, I want you to listen to me for a second. Never in the history of this church, which is almost over 17 years now, never in the history of this church have I not been here for you. And I'll tell you something else. When our church, my family started this church and we put this church together, never in 17 years have not only I not been here for you, but my family has always been here for you. I mean through the good times and the bad times. And I know most of you know this, but sometimes you lose sight when the clouds roll in. I mean when you had birthdays, when you had a funeral and a death in your family, when you had some physical need, or you were out of work, or you didn't have any food. I mean, every need. I taught my family as we started this church and came through this church, I taught my family the same thing I taught you. You know what? We're not here to take from you. We're not here to take from you. We're here to give to you. One of the rules of leadership is never take from your people. Give to your people. I beat into their heads about being servants. That's why I don't like to celebrate my birthday. They had plans for a big 70th birthday party for me, and I shut it down. You know why? Because I don't want to be the center of anything. I want you to be the center of everything. I don't want to be here so I can get from you. I want to be here so I can give to you. And I'm going to tell you something, and never in 17 years have I not been here for you. Some of you went through problems with your kids, and we went through it together. Some of you went through bad marital problems. You wouldn't even be still married today. And you came to me, and I was there for you. Some of you went through tough times financially, lost your job. Some of you went through all kinds of heartache. You had health issues. You had problems. And, you know, it didn't matter to me in sickness or in health or in death. Some of you lost a loved one, and I stood there by their bed with you while they went home to be with the Lord and preached their funerals. There's never in 17 years that I haven't been everything I could try to be to you. And in all that time, folks, I've never asked you for anything. I've never asked you for anything. I follow my own rules, and I will always give to you, but I will never ask anything from you. I don't make a big deal about the things that I do. I don't make a big deal about my needs or whatever. I just simply realize that my job is to be not only your pastor, but as your pastor, to be a servant to you. And my job and the job of my family for the last 17 years has been just to give to you. Whenever you had a need, we went over and above to give you that. And for me and you, I've been there through you for everything that you've had to struggle through. And never one time have I ever asked you or this church for anything back to me. That's changing today. I'm going to ask you for something. I'm going to ask you for something today. I need your help in getting through all of this. I need your support at what we have to do. I've always put your kids as a priority. I don't know how much money we spent on camp, but I'll tell you, it was a thing where it was even more than it was that we have ever done in last year. And I told Danny and I told Zach, I don't care. There's churches that will spend $80,000 on a sound system and never do anything for their kids. There's nothing more valuable to me than our kids, no matter what you may think. And I'm telling you, the families of this church, the individuals in this church, your safety, your children, our church is the most important thing in my world next to my family. And it's a thing where, but I'm telling you, I cannot do this alone. I simply cannot. I hate the fact that you're there and I'm here because I feel like I'm out there on planet Pluto someplace and as lone as can be in this because we love faces. We love hugs. We love talking. We love interaction. And now, for a period of time, that's gone. And I'm telling you, I've never asked you for anything, ever. But I'm asking you now, I can't do this by myself. I just can't. In 17 years, I have been building leaders. In 17 years, I have been building leaders for this very time that we're facing right now. And now is the time, leaders, to stand up with me and to lead. We have to lead our people through this. I have to lead them through this. But I can't do it by myself because I'm detached from them. This is now where you have to stand up. This is now where you have to fill in the gap for me. And it will take what Paul told the church in 2 Corinthians. Nobody is responsible for this virus. This virus came across our lawns. It invaded our country. It invaded our city. It invaded our church. And I knew and I told you sooner or later it would hit us. But we need, as Paul said, through our own suffering to help each other in their suffering. Now, having said that, here's my plan, and I want to bring you up to speed on what we have done and what we are going to continue to do. And again, I want to thank you. Before I even preach this message, my phone, my texts, my emails were just blown up with people who say, Bob, what can I do? Tell me how I can help. You know what, I'm not feeling the best, but I can call somebody. I can't go see somebody, but I can call somebody. Let me know what I can do, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. Now, here's what we're going to do. Obviously, Thursday night, when we began to see that things were all going to have some issues, we sat down with our nursing staff there at camp, Danny, Zach, and I, got their input on it and what they thought in stages what we needed to do. And at that point, we had zero, you know, positive cases. So Danny drafted an email out and let the parents know to that point of what information we had, and we sent that out. And then, of course, once that all changed, and then we had our first positive case, then we immediately sent out another email and went out, and that laid out clearly, you know, what now had changed, and the guidelines that within there with what the health department said and also what the CDC said, and we told them in that you need to operate with your family under the guidelines that they have been maybe not necessarily affected, but certainly exposed. And we gave that to them so they would have all the information and provided our phone numbers and emails and everything that if they needed to contact us. Along with that, we had yesterday through Tara and then through our own, we have reached out to the not only the state health department, but we did a Jackson County Health Department. And, you know, we will begin to bring them up on the speed on what we have already done and then what we are continuing to do and put their a plan in effect to arrest this issue in our church and to get it back to some kind of normalcy. And as cases develop, then we will work on an ongoing basis with them, and that's where we're at with that. Right now, you know, from my own perspective and from the people that I have talked to, you know, we need to get ahead of this and get to a flat line, which everybody knows is somewhere between 14 or 20 days or whatever the case may be. So in light of that, what I have done is I have suspended all church services and all Bible studies, all discipleships, all principal classes. If you're discipling somebody and you want to continue to do it on the phone, that is fine, or through whatever social media that you use, that's fine. We are terminating all social gatherings for softball, for kickball, for parties, for get-togethers, for at least the next 2 weeks. If we have to go beyond that, then we will. I'm not setting a time limit on it. I'm just giving you a perspective of where I'm at. And of course, the nursery and the elementary division, even when we come back, will be closed till further notice. And what we need to do is we need to give ourselves enough time to work through this 14-day period. This is going to be a crucial week because we're going to see the peak this week and then maybe next week, but then we should get back to a flat line at some point after that. And that's what we want to look to. We want to, you know, we want to get to a point where we have, you know, the curve is turned and we now are at a plateau where we're keeping it down to a bare minimum, that everything that we're doing, and then we can get back to some kind of normalcy based on whatever that means anymore, based on after that. And, you know, I ask you that if you feel sick or you need to check with your doctor. I know you have to make your own call on this. I know that people, you know, who were sick have already been texting me and calling me saying that, hey, it was just for a day and I'm feeling better. It's hard to determine what is fatigue of camp and what is truly because the symptoms are the same. And I encourage you to follow no matter what. I know that not everybody that's sick is going to come down with it. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, the word caution needs to rule the day, and you need to be careful with that. I'm also asking that you stay away from all kinds of social things together. Give us a break here. Give us a good, honest break. And, you know, and stay away from the social things together, the get-togethers. If you feel alone and you need to have, you know, somebody to talk to, call them on the phone. Worst case scenario, meet them outside in their driveway, stay 10 feet apart and talk to them that way. But I'm asking you to your limitations of your boyfriends and your girlfriends and the friends that you hang out with, that you think that it doesn't matter to you because of the fact that, and let me ask you, let me tell you, it may not have mattered before because we were all doing it. It matters now because of where we're at. And we have to walk our way through this. And I'm asking for no close contact for at least 2 weeks. Let's give it a chance to burn itself out. And then we'll come back. And, you know, I tell you right now, when we come back for a period of time till they give us otherwise, just masks will be required, that we're going to take every precaution that we can. I think we got away with it while we could. But I think now it's resurging everywhere around us, and we're past that point, and we need to do everything that we need to do. And, you know, and I, again, please keep us informed. If you need to call me, call me. Keep us informed of what you find out so we can keep the health department in the loop. Please direct any questions or concerns to either me, Danny, or Zach. We're the ones that can help you. It doesn't do any good to take your concerns to somebody that cannot give you the answers. You need to call us directly. We're here for you. I'll help you any way that I can. Now, I will, you know, as in any time, you know, I am here for you, and I will be here for you. And it's a thing where we just need to help each other through this time. I will do Sunday morning and Bible study online like this. And I on Thursday night Bible study, I may do questions. I have been kicking around the idea. There were some things that I wanted to teach anyhow that I might just take that time and do. I've not decided that yet. But you can fire your questions into Woody. He'll be running a soundboard back there, or you can text them to me or email them to me. And believe it or not, that's a major step for me. That's the first time I'd ever take a text or an email. But you can do that. Again, you can call me at any time. And we need to take those next 2 or 3 weeks, and we just need to take care of each other. And I'm telling you. So many of you have, as I said, have contacted me and says, what can I do? And I so appreciate that. I think that one of the things that we need to do is we need through the social media or through the telephone that we need to communicate with each other and talk to each other. We need to help each other. We need to check on each other. We need to just be there for each other. I can't do it all. I just can't. And as I said, I have the weight and the burden of walking through this and helping everybody that I can, but I can't do it by myself. And as I said earlier, and I wasn't just playing a sob story, I have been there for you. Now I need you to be there for me. And I need your help. You leaders, I need you to lead. I've taught you well. You've got the book. You know the principles. You've been in people ministry. You've been everything that you need to do. You got every principle that you need. Now we need to put them to work, and we need to hold on to each other, and we need to call and check on people. We need to be there for them. And together, you know, we will walk through this next couple of weeks and get back to some kind of normalcy, as you know, if it even exists anymore. And let me just close by saying this. Come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, for a moment, what Paul said in verse 8. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Paul said, you know what? I want you to know what we're going through, because I know what you're going through. You've told me where you're going through. Now I'm telling you, I don't want you to be ignorant of what I'm going through. He says in verse 8 and 9, hey, I understand where you're at. We had the sentence of death in us. We were pressed out of measure. We had people who were trying to kill us. We had people who wanted us dead. Now, I'm telling you, they were going through some tough times. And I want you to notice that Paul didn't minimize their tough time and maximize his. He just simply said to them, look, we're all suffering and we all struggle. And he says in verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partaking of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. He says, I am steadfast in the fact that you're going to take what you're going through right now and help somebody else with it. And me, like Paul this morning, my hope is for you today is also steadfast. I believe that I've taught you well. I've given you the Bible. I've given you every part of my life, and I've been there for you in everything that you've needed. Now, my hope is steadfast in you, that you will take the sufferings that we are going through and help somebody else with it who is suffering. And we must rise up into this difficult time and take care of each other through our own suffering. And I will say it again. Paul said, you know what? Sometimes our suffering has to be for somebody's salvation. Boy, that is so true. And as I said, we are, and I don't want to minimize what we're going through, and I never would, but I don't want to lose sight of what God did last week either. I guess we have to ask ourselves, is it worth suffering through we're going with for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it may be for somebody's life to be saved and get changed for all of eternity? That's the real question. And I don't want you to lose sight of that question, because that is the real question based on what Paul said. Sometimes our suffering has to be for somebody's salvation. And then he closes with this. And this is the principle for us. He said in verse 9, the key is not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in the Lord. And then he said in verse 10, and this is the promise that I give you today. This is what we hold on to. This is what ought to be on your refrigerator by this afternoon. This ought to be written in your Bible if it isn't already. And he says in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. And then he says, and doth deliver. And then he says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And here's our precious promise and principle to hold on to together through this. He said, first of all, you know what, folks? Speaking to the church, like I'm speaking to you. You know what? I know you're going through a tough time right now, and I know you're suffering. Understand what suffering is all about. Run it back to Christ's suffering on the cross. Get out of your own little tunnel vision of what you're going through and understand that suffering is part of Christianity, because it was part of Christ's death on the cross. And take that suffering and through that, have consolation for somebody else that is suffering. But at the end of the day, here's what he tells them. Know this. In times past, in our history, God has always come through for us, and God has so delivered us. And in Paul's work there, the great death that they were facing. And I want to tell you today that in the history of our 17 years of church, God's always taken care of us. We've faced some tough times. We've faced some people. We've faced some circumstances. We've faced some situations. We have faced things that we have had to deal with that were not pleasant, that caused all of us some suffering. It's just the way that it goes. And God has been good to us in so many ways, and I can't even compare the good with the bad, because it's so minuscule, but it's there. And I want to tell you that through all the history of this church, God never failed to deliver us. And I want to tell you right now that we're going through another struggle today, and we're facing some issues, and it's going to be the leadership of this church that defines itself by rising up and understanding what Paul said, and us seeing this thing from a biblical perspective, and then us realizing that not only did he deliver us, but he doth deliver us. He's going to get us through this. But he's only going to get us through this as we get it through ourselves. He ain't going to come down and just take away the virus. He ain't going to come down and give everybody a magic, a cure and a vaccine. He's not going to do that. He's going to bring about the deliverance through each one of us doing what the Word of God says and putting our own emotions and feelings aside. And that can be hard. And realizing that through our suffering, people get saved. And through our suffering, we can identify with people who are suffering and we can help them. And again, I thank you, so many people who have texted me, called me, and said, Bob, what can I do? Well, now you know. Now you know. Now you know what we need to do. And out of the ashes of this, I guarantee you, will rise some men and women who stand above all of this and become the leaders that our church and I have vested my life here to try to build. And then the last thing he said, he has delivered us in the past. He will deliver us now. That he says will yet deliver us in the future. I'm not scared of what's coming. I dread it because, yeah, it's an inconvenience. I dread it because of what we have got to do. I dread that because I dread it. But I'm not afraid of it, because I know that this church for the most part, I have built it to last. I have built it to be nuclear proof. I have built it to be strong and endure, that nothing can bend it. And so I know that no matter what we have been in the past, we got through it, we're going to get through this, but even more important, whatever comes our way in the future, we'll get through. But it's going to take all of us understanding what Paul is talking about in this passage. And that's why this passage stuck out to me. Because I know that everybody's hurting. I know that there's a lot of emotions flying out there, and I'm not against any of that. And I'm not saying you don't have a right to feel what you feel. I am just saying get over it, because of the fact that we got to, at the end of the day, we got to follow what the Bible says. And we got to do what we got to do. And we can't not help the people that are going through what they're going through. And we can only help them as we understand what Paul's saying, and realizing that whatever we do in Christianity, either today, last 100 years, the last 2,000 years, there was always a price tag that had to be paid. And many times, that was the personal suffering that we had to all go through. And I'll let you decide where you're at with that. Now, here again, you guys amaze me. You do. We're going to, and you always do this. I mean, we're going through a tough time, and I'm, you know, trying to work and put it all together and focus on this and focus on that. And I don't know how many calls I've gotten, people are asking me, so I'm telling you now, because I don't have to send out a 20 texts. People are saying, in the middle of all this, you're worried about getting your offering in here. And I love that. We've got to pay the bills. I mean, that's just the way it is. But for you to be worried about that and thinking about that, I don't even know what to say to you. All I can tell you is this, that we're obviously not going back under the 10-10 rule like we were before. That's not going to help us. We're going to stay out and separate for the next 2 weeks, maybe three, maybe four. I don't know. But during this particular time, just go back to what you were doing before. Send it to my home address. I'm not going to give it out over the internet. If you want it, you can call me. If you don't have it, most of you have it. Just send it in to me. Seal it in an envelope. Send it to me, and I'll get it to Jenny and every week, and we'll do it that way, just like we had doing when we were up into 10 people, even though we did take offerings. I had a tremendous amount of people who just sent it in. Stay safe. Let us help you. If you have concerns, if you have questions, if you have things that I can help you with, call me. I thank you so many of you who rallied to this thing and just simply said, Bob, you know what, just tell me what I got to do. And I do appreciate that. So I will keep you posted. I will let you know as we get information. I obviously will do it on Thursday and Sunday. When we meet, we'll be back here Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And we'll get our Bible study going, and I'll help you any way that I can between now and then. We'll either do questions or I'll have something. I haven't decided that yet. I will be preaching. I won't finish Proverbs during this. I have a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about and preach to you about anyhow. So it's a thing where we'll just use that and tie it to where we're at. And, you know, it's one of those things where during World War II, you know, America was faced with a tremendous war on two fronts, not only Japan, but also in Germany. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the president of the United States. And obviously, being the president of the United States is a much greater task than being a pastor of this church. I mean, the distance for us is in four or five counties. The distance for him was all across the United States, not even the soldiers overseas. And every once a week, every night, he would sit down with America over the radio, and he would have what became to be known as the fireside chats with the American people. And he would just talk with them about where they were. He'd talk with them about what they were doing, and just gave them a sense that somebody cared and somebody was there that they could listen to. Now, that's how I look at my Sunday mornings and my Thursday nights right now. But more than that, people couldn't call the president and ask him, you can call me, and I will be calling you. And I want us to stay in contact, stay in touch. I want my people who want to help to stay in contact with each other, build your little group socially, however you want to do it. But let's just give ourselves a couple of weeks to get this thing worked through and then get back to whatever we can get back to. And, you know, and then obviously we will face the next challenge that comes our way, because this will not, this has not been the first. And don't kid yourself that it'll be the last. We just have to hold on to each other to get through it. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. We love you. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you, Father, for our time today. Thank you for social media, Lord, that I know it can be a terrible, demonic, wicked thing, but it has, like everything else, it has its good points. And thank you today, Lord, for allowing us to share where we're at with these people. And these are good people, Lord. And for 17 years now that we have together have labored and got through everything. Help us to see and understand the big picture today and to work together to work through this. And through our own suffering, may we be consolation to others that are suffering based on the sufferings that Christ suffered for us. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For a sake we ask it. Amen. God bless you. Have a good, safe day. Keep in touch with me. And I love you all very much. Thank you.